Welcome to the Press Conference Podcast, where we bring you the pressing information nobody asked for. I'm your host, Dave, and I'm here with my co-host, Phil. How's it going, man?
Not bad, man. How about you?
Yeah, doing good. Doing good. We're finally back in the seat.
We say that every episode.
I know.
I'm sure people are like, what the fuck are these guys doing? They can't even like string together consecutive episodes on the right day. That's fine. We're back.
We're trying.
It feels good to be back as well. I know we say this every time, so I'm sorry for the people that listen and we say every time, oh, we're fucking great. Glad, good to be back and big things come in. But no, it's good to be back. How you been?
Yeah, good. Busy. We can probably tell, like there's a little space between episodes, but been doing well. Excited to talk about today's subject and all things upcoming, because we've got a busy month ahead with some gigs and some incoming mail and stuff like that. So I'm keen as to get your thoughts.
Yeah, that's good, man. I'm pretty keen. Like, I think this episode, I mean, I've spoken about it in one of my favorite bands of all time. So I'm pretty keen to get these rankings out. And it was actually a lot easier than I thought, believe it or not. But the songs were harder. We'll get to that later.
Yeah, definitely. They've got a big catalog, so we'll talk about that later. So pressing suggestions, what have you got for me this week?
I want to talk about some gigs I've been to recently before we get to that. I've actually been to a few big shows. I know on the last episode we spoke about the Justice for the Dam tour with Kublai Khan and Sanction. And that was arguably one of the best weeks of shows I've had in a very long time. So it started off on the Sunday at the Factory Theatre. Justice for the Damned headline, Kublai Khan played, Sanction played, Trench Knife played. Fuck, there was probably another band. No, I don't think there was another band. It was just crazy. Like, I'd never been to that venue. It was a big room. It was actually pretty cool. Probably one of my favourites in Sydney, believe it or not, as well.
Nice.
It was like the stage was really high, but the barrier was just like the stage. It was like a hall that you could imagine like, fuck, I don't know, school dances and shit like that, you know?
Okay.
And there was like floorboards in front of the stage and then steps that went up the back. And it was my first time being close to a pit again, like a proper aggressive pit with Sanction and Kublai Khan. And I got fucked up and got hit in the chest pretty bad during Kublai Khan. But it was just so good, dude. Like, one of the best shows I've been to. And then after that, on the Tuesday night, Sanction were playing a show at Burdekin Hotel, which is tiny. Like, I'm talking maybe 150, 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kublai Khan jumped on that last minute. And it was just mayhem that Tuesday night. And it was just a really good run of shows. On the Monday in between the two, I went to the Slowly Slowly Daisy Chain, like acoustic or reimagined show that they did in Sydney. And this really cool like whiskey bar up in Newtown, and it was just great. What'd you think of that album?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's probably not their best, but like they just had too many singles, I think, for me, and like we've spoken about it a little bit. There's a couple of songs in there that it kind of seemed to be just like kind of whacked in there, but all in all, it's like another solid album. We heard enough from the singles to know it was going to be pretty decent. And I really enjoy it.
Well, that was the one. That was my only gripe with the album, is that we heard too much of it. So when it came out, I just didn't feel that feeling of a new album. I was like, fuck, all right, all the good songs are out. We'll listen to the filler now, except for God. That track is like fucking undefeated. But it was. I love the album when it came out. But then when I saw the songs live, and even though they were like reimagined versions, so it wasn't just like with the whole band, there was a fucking piano up there. Ben played like a bunch of guitars, and the bass was like an acoustic bass. And I'm not talking like a big upright acoustic bass. I'm talking it looked like a fucking acoustic guitar with four strings. Oh, coolest thing I've ever seen. I'm easily impressed, as you can tell. And it was just really good. It was just great. Ben just sounded incredible, as he always does, but it was this tiny room. The echo was beautiful. Good vibes all around. It was a good like 3 days of shows. And then I went to Byron Bay with work and zened out. And now all I want to do is like quit my job and go to Byron Bay, but I'm not going to do that. Yeah. I'm not going to do it, but I would like to.
Well, I've kind of been doing the opposite to you on the gig front. There hasn't really been many that have kind of lined up for me. So not many of the listeners may know is that my wife works nights. So basically I'm on dad duty, except for like Wednesdays and Fridays and Saturdays, basically. So it's kind of tough. Those Sanction and Kubla Khan shows were like Sunday and Tuesday, I think. So there was no chance to get there, unfortunately. But I heard they absolutely went off in Melbourne as well, which would have been super awesome to see.
Let's hope for some Furnace Fest shows. Let's go.
Yeah.
But anyways, you were saying pressing... pickups.
I just pickups. Yeah, so I'll go first. I haven't had much mail either, really. I had three things come in since the last episode, and one of those was Bloom Past Tense through Summit.
How good. How good.
I got, yeah, it sounds really awesome. The etching on the back looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I got the clear blue with like the streaks through it, which looks pretty awesome. And I managed to pick up a second copy of the Blue Marble.
I've got
the Blue Marble coming. So it's supposed to have been posted, but I haven't seen anything. So that's pretty awesome. That came out really great, the whole press.
I'm so stoked to have that. And I was kind of sitting back when mine came and I was like, fuck, like I've got all these records and I've still got one more to come, which I can't fucking wait for. And it's just, fuck. It's so good. And I listened to it on the weekend. I think I spun it like two or three times in a row. And I was like, these songs are so good. New music will come next year. Like we've spoken, we've heard them play. Well, I've heard them play and I've seen your video at a show of one of their new songs. And it's just so fucking good. So it's nice that we get this time to just kind of appreciate the stuff that's already come out. And I say that, try to not be a douchebag as much as I can. But it's great to just appreciate them on vinyl for a little bit before the new stuff comes.
Yeah, it's like having it new again, almost. So, like, purposely didn't stream it much while we were waiting and stuff like that. And that's kind of something that I do, is try not to wear it out before I get it. So it was like rediscovering it again. It's awesome through, like, big speakers and playing it loud, even though you can do that streaming. It's just different.
Yeah.
So I also got a battery compilation. So nice. Brian McTernan's first band. So that's called For the Rejected by the Rejected.
Yep.
They kind of got rejected by Australia Post. So
yeah,
I'm taking that up with rough. Them. Yeah. And that same day, I also got Fault by Alpha Wolf. So I've got that non-cancelled discography now. So I'm keen as to give that a really loud blast when the kids are home.
Non-cancelled discography, fair enough. That's a good EP though. I'm not buying one. It's fucking too expensive for what I'm willing to pay, and I honestly have never listened to it, so I jumped on at Fault, and I'm happy to leave it that way.
Yeah, me too. What have you had come in?
You know, it's funny, it sounds like I have a problem. I do have a bit of a problem buying vinyl, but I've been really fucking good the last maybe month or two, but it just so happened to be this last week. I'm just like, fuck it. I bought a bunch of stuff. And so I'll rattle off a few and then I'll end with the one that I'm really stoked about.
We should precursor that with saying that there was a sale at Resist, which is,
there really was a sale at Resist and it was payday. So I was like, fuck, I just wanted to buy a few. And a lot of it stemmed from the Sanction show. I think they're a band that I liked beforehand. And after seeing them live, I'm just like, fuck, this band is epic. They're so good. They're so good musicians, right? Well, they're so good musicians. They're such good musicians. They're so tight. I mean, like, they were small in the grand scheme of things, right? In regards to the crowd they pulled, and it wasn't a massive venue or anything, but they almost deserve to play in bigger rooms because they're really fucking good. So I got their first record and their latest record, because I fucking slept and missed the middle one. But our good friend Chuck came through and hooked me up, so I'm pretty keen to get that. I picked up the new Ellis Dunes record, or the first Ellis Dunes record, which I think sounds great. Like, and I know we spoke about it. You didn't hit with you that well after first listen?
Yeah. I have written it off, but it's something that I probably feel, as I said to you, that it's not a, I don't think it's a headphones record. I think it's going to be like a, like put it on your turntable, play it through your stereo. Like
it sounded so good, man. And I know, and we spoke about it. Like the thing with that record that did it for me was the instrumentals.
Yeah.
Like, they sound so clean, so crisp. It almost, like, I know Frank Iero is in it, but it kind of reminded me a lot of the Mike Kemp stuff that they were doing after Danger Days with the EPs and everything like that.
Okay. I did get a lot of that from the guitars, and like, obviously
the guitars, that's it, right? Yeah, spot on.
Tim and Tucker from Thursday.
Yeah.
They don't mess around. Like,
it just felt like a good post-hardcore record, kind of, in a way.
Yeah.
The instrumentals and the vocals are a bit different, but yeah, I just really enjoyed listening to that. So I was really stoked to get that, and I got the alt cover with the alt jacket with the black. So I was really happy with that. I got the Incendiary record, their latest record. And one that I was really stoked to grab was Angel Dust, the Yak, the truck songs, whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah. A collection of truck songs.
Get it right. I like it better than Turnstile. Put it on the record. I don't care. People come at me. I like that better than the Turnstile.
Than the Turnstile.
The Turnstile, fuck. The Dark Parade, whatever you want to call it. Shut the fuck up. I like Turnstile. And Glow On's incredible. But I probably, this is more up my alley. Like when you featured it on the pod, like that Pile of Love, a bit indie rock, kind of like, you know, synth wave kind of stuff. And that's exactly how I feel about it.
Yeah,
and I love that kind of shit, right? So it's probably more at my alley than the traditional hardcore stuff that I don't even know who the fuck it is in Turnstile, but
I think it's the drummer.
Yeah,
drummer and someone else. Yeah,
yeah, it's good. Oh, and
it's
sorry,
adventurous. It's such a great album, and like it's just like an any time, any day, you could put it on, and
it's a happy record. It feels happy. Like I said, I haven't listened to the lyrics properly, as I don't with a lot of stuff. I listen to the music and how it feels. But it feels like a happy record. It feels uplifting. I put it on and I just want to get drunk and lie in the sun, you know, get a fucking like straw hat and just chill out. So that was one part of my pickups over the weekend on Saturday. And then really stoked, I did a Facebook order or pick up on Marketplace. I picked up 3 records yesterday. I picked up Entertainment by Waterparks. I picked up one by Home Safe. And I picked up the Tales Told by Dead Friends EP, the first press of Mayday Parade, by Mayday Parade, which that record was like, we spoke about it on the pod a while ago. I've never seen it in Australia. I've seen it come up like twice in the last 6 months online. Mm-hmm. Other than Discogs, I know I can get it on Discogs, but who the fuck wants to? It's not anyone's first preference to buy on Discogs, I don't think. But I'd never seen a comp in Australia for such a good price, mind you. And we met halfway; I didn't have to pay postage, so it was quite good. I spun it like twice as soon as I got home. It's already fucking up on my Instagram. Shameless plug, but fuck yeah! I was so glad to get that awesome record. And I love a good 10-inch record.
Yeah, 10 inches are great. I don't know what the shade is on them, but they're awesome.
I mean, they're kind of annoying because like I have an auto turntable, but I'm going to upgrade soon and hopefully I'll find it less annoying.
Yeah, they're sick.
But yeah, it was my pickup. So pretty extensive list, even though I haven't really been buying that much. I feel like I just got a lot at once.
Yeah. Big haul. I'm stoked you got Yak and Incendiary because they are two awesome records on the opposite end of the hardcore spectrum, if you will.
Well, I know I'm going to save my spicy take on Incendiary. I know I sent it to you last week, but I'm sure it'll come up in a pod. I don't want to do it today, but I fucking really love Incendiary and that whole New York style of hardcore.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe we'll do that next. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'll save my take.
It's just amazing how big they are for a band that plays 4 shows a year. It's crazy. They play
good shit, man. And I've spoken to you about like my journey with hardcore is not as extensive as other people's, but I've always preferred New York style hardcore. And I think of bands like Backtrack, who I've seen a few times when they've come here, and that's kind of what I love in hardcore. It's really angry. It's almost kind of like it crosses the line from hardcore to other genres, but yeah. Anyways, I'll save my spicy take for another day. You all that want to cancel me can cancel me another time.
Next up is the road to Furnace Fest.
We're doing the road now.
Well, that's next.
All right, play up the intro. Play the intro.
Yeah, ka-chow! Ka-chow!
Ka-chow in the ball! Ka-chow!
Ka-chow! Ka-chow!
First cab off the rank. How's your saving going?
Oh, fuck, dude. My saving is going horribly. And when I say horribly, I technically didn't plan to start saving until this month. And I'm not like far behind. Like I saved a bit, but it just means next month I have to save a little bit more, which is fine. You know, it's December. I'm going to be Christmas parties and stuff. I could do it. Like I'll be fine. How are you doing?
Yeah, like things are pretty dire down here. The lead up to Christmas isn't great with two kids.
Yeah.
And like Christmas parties and stuff, as you said, coming up. And just yeah, a few things needing some money to be poured into.
Can I just say all these bands are announcing fucking awesome shows. Very rude of you because we're trying to save for a holiday. Mm. And like who we got in the last 2 weeks, Alexis on Fire, City in Colour, fucking One Step Closer today. Comeback Kid got announced like yesterday or today. Sayosin got announced like,
yeah,
Not Fest. I don't know if Not Fest was announced when we did the last episode, but
I think it just got dropped. But yeah,
fuck, bro, what are all these shows? And whatever, I would have loved them this year, but
it's fine. Luckily, like you have to pick between Alexis or City in Colour. I think
I'm gonna pick City in Colour.
I already bought Alexis tickets, so you can cover that one. So I'll cover Alexis, and you cover.
Look, I'll probably wait until closer, or maybe next payday. I'll probably get an Alexis ticket.
But you also bought Architects tickets as well.
Architects, oh yeah, that got announced. I got Architects tickets. I can't even remember what else came out. Oh, the Turnstile sideshows. I didn't get a ticket to that.
Nah, neither did I.
I mean, I'm going a lame way, so I'll see him there anyway, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's been crazy, but I think it's fine. Like, I mean, when I kind of my OCD and planning, like I fucking do plans for a living, right? That's my job. I planned out like my budget for saving for this trip, and I don't really start till next year, so I'm okay. I'm feeling all right.
It's good. I'm feeling not all right, so
do we need to like impose a vinyl ban? Are we at that point, or are we too early in the game to do that?
No, I spent less than $100 last week. It's fine. That's it.
It's fine. That's
across the board.
So, I wish. Oh, yeah, you're right. Actually, I only spent $100 the last week as well.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, I'm being honest. Anyway, let's
fuck off. I guess we don't have a lot of updates for Furnace Fest this time around. I mean, it's our first time really introducing this into the regular pods. But I don't know about you. Christmas is coming up. People are asking me what I want for Christmas, and I started thinking about some things that I could put towards a trip.
Ask for like $10,000. Hope Santa's got deep pockets.
Yeah, no, I've been a good boy this year. Come on, Santa. Where is this going? This is horrible. Anyways, I've picked a few items that I think I need. I think I need to get a good backpack. I don't really have a decent backpack that I would deem travel.
Yeah, Furnace Fest's pits are pretty hectic, so you need a good backpack for them.
Not even just for the pits, for the walking around and doing other shit. Like,
yeah,
you best believe I'm taking my Hellions bum bag to the pit at Not Fest. Got to represent. But no, I need a backpack. No, this is really stale content for a pod, but it's fine. I'm pushing through for this week. I want some headphones too. I want some proper like over-ear headphones for the plane. I know you're a snory dude. So I'm gonna need noise cancelling headphones. So this has been on my radar of things I want to pick up.
Yep. Yeah, I reckon I might grab a GoPro or something like that, or a little handy cam.
Oh, nice.
Something like that to maybe help us vlog the trip or something like that.
I thought about doing that. I think I'm just going to upgrade my phone next year and then just maybe try and do some things on there. I'm not good enough on a computer anymore. I feel like if you have a GoPro, you need to have a computer. I don't really have a good computer, so.
Yeah. It would be cool to kind of just strap in and away you go. There's a cool clip. Absolutely. I used to see the clipped onto a strip. You strap your backpack.
Oh, yeah,
that's cool. Clip your GoPro onto there. So it was like perfect for...
The only thing I don't like about that is that if you're strapping that to your backpack, I'm going to be in... I don't want to be on camera that much, dude. So... But maybe we can swap.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on from this segment because it was a bit dire this week. Thanks for sticking on. Pressing suggestions this week before we get to the main event.
Yeah.
What do you got for us this week?
So I've got one that I think we may have spoken about, but it's not a pressing suggestion. So I am talking about this week Dreamwell's album Modern Grotesque.
I think both of us were going to do this at one point, and we both didn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they're a band out of the US on like the screamo. I reckon they're a little bit math. Like,
I reckon they've got this whole like screamo, math, melodic hardcore thing going on.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, either way, it's really awesome. They're a 5-piece that play, like screamo, math. The guitars are just absolutely epic. I actually really had a hard time picking my favorite song.
I already know my favorite one. Can I give you my favorite one after you give yours?
Yes.
What do you got?
I actually really love the title track.
Yep.
And I'm just going through now. I think it'll be You Dreamt of Me, I Dreamt of a Mountain of Salt.
Lovely.
Hit me with yours.
My favorite was Plague Father, Vermin Son.
Yeah.
Now, weird track name, but it's got this fucking like, you know what I like in melodic hardcore and the screamo thing, like the guitars kind of like stop and he starts screaming and then it kind of picks up again and it's just like, I'm having an out-of-body experience. I'm going to say that a few times on this pod, by the way, because there are some out-of-body experiences that are coming up later, but fuck that song. Yeah, it slaps.
Yeah. So... That was up there as well. For me, I think the best thing, my favorite thing about this band is like the whole album kind of ebbs and flows, but builds really well all the way through.
Oh, yeah.
So like there's ambience, there's everything you'd want. And I think they're like not talked about enough. And we've also got the records coming.
Yeah.
Sent back to the UK once, so hopefully they should be here before good things, hopefully, so I can hand it over to you in person. But yeah, that's Dreamwell, Modern Grotesque.
Great record. And that's what I love about this pod. Like, you've been going down this whole screamo binge hole thing, and you've come up with bands like that, and I think they were real special. I think a great record, great band. I love the point you talked about progression. Like, it almost feels like a two steps forward, one step back every song.
Yeah.
So it's still like every song has this great like growth and then it kind of comes back and then it grows again and it comes back and it's just fucking great. No, it's a great feature album. My feature album this week, I've gone back down the pop route or hip hop route. I don't know what you want to... Oh, no, Dave, don't do this. I've been going down this kind of, I don't know what it is. It's always been there, but you know, amongst my sad boy hours in the melodic hardcore and everything. And you know, this artist just released a new album and I've loved him for a long time. I needed to feature it this week and I've been listening. It's my most listened to album the last 3 weeks since it came out. So, it is Smithereens by Joji.
Oh. Very good.
You thought I was going to talk about Fletcher again, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's way too pop for this pod, man. People fall off their chairs if I recommended that album. But no, Joji used to be a YouTuber, Filthy Frank, back in the day, or the guy in the pig suit, is like this Asian-American YouTuber gone rapper slash producer. He makes kind of like chill house, like hip-hop beats, really chill stuff, like really Sad Boy Hour stuff, and he kind of raps and sings over it. And this record is probably his most stripped back out of everything. Like, he, even his old records had a few songs which were a bit more upbeat, a bit more poppy. This one opens with just like a ballad on a piano, and it's sad as fuck, Glimpse of Us. And then it kind of builds, and it doesn't really become like a really hip tech album at all. It's really slow, really chill. You'd almost call it like jazz house. It's that chill.
Interesting.
And it's just really good. It's a sad album. Go listen to it if you're into that stuff. I just had to feature it. I've been listening to it so much, so it's great.
Joji.
So the songs I want to feature in particular would have to be Die For You, track 3. It's probably it's his biggest song that wasn't the single off the record. And also 1AM Freestyle.
Nice.
That's the closer. It's great. So
I keep meaning to listen to Joji, and then I forget.
After this podcast, when you're going to bed, put it on, Smithereens. Don't listen to his other stuff because you're not ready for that. But listen to Smithereens, and then after about 20 minutes, when you're crying in bed, just give me a text and I'll be like, it's okay, dude. it'll be okay, Dave.
Oh, that's me every night, though.
Nah, you'll feel it. Trust me.
Okay.
It's a great album.
I'll put it on. I'll cue it up right now.
Love it. So, we're up to the big dog. One of my favorite bands for our pressing topic for this episode. This band has been around, and this blew my mind. When I say it, it still doesn't feel real. This band's been around for 25 years.
Pardon?
This band has been around for 25 years. Can you believe that? Like, that was a bit shocking.
I don't believe you.
I mean, it's pretty wild. So they've been around for 25 years, which is nuts. Still going. We're going to see them live in 2 weeks' time, which I'm so fucking stoked about.
Yeah.
They've released 4 albums, 4 heavy hitters too, 2 EPs, a demo, 3 splits. They are a pop punk band, one of my favorite bands of all time. They're not neck deep. They are the creators of the new age of pop punk. I'm calling it right now. The story so far. Cue the fucking smash. The story so far. I'm so excited for this one. I've got quite a few notes. I know we always do a lot of notes and I feel like we talk about it pretty quickly, but I'm excited. How are you feeling?
I'm keen. I just want to precursor and say, like, I'm pretty new to the story so far. Like, I've known about them, but I only really got on at proper dose, and we'll talk about that later, but I've been diving in deeper because Good Things and the Sideshow and everything, and I'm super keen to hear your history with them, because it's pretty extensive. They're one of your favorite bands, and I'm super keen to see where they come from.
So yeah, I mean, there's a lot to unpack. Good Things is coming up in 2 weeks' time from recording.
Yeah,
next weekend. Can you believe it's next weekend?
Yeah,
holy shit!
I can't believe it.
I'm driving down on, I think I'm going to leave on Wednesday night, meet our friend Webby, who may or may not be coming on an episode very soon. Spoiler alert. Meet him in Canberra on the Wednesday night, because that's where he is during the week. And then wake up early on the Thursday, drive to Melbourne, get some fucking burritos with the boys, go to the Story So Far sideshow. Where are they playing? Sookie Lounge, tiny venue.
Belgrade.
No barrier. Low stage.
It's like a bar. It's like a whiskey bar thing. Never been. So I'm keen as.
Oh, it's going to be so good.
We can catch Puffin' up... Billy as well.
I'm not catching the train, bro. Save that for the weekends with the kids, all right?
Sorry. I'm programmed.
No, I'm so keen for that sideshow. And then Good Things on the Friday. And we've got, what, Bring Me the Horizon are playing, Story So Far are playing. Deep down, I don't really care about many other bands. Like, they're the two that I'm most keen for. But I know you've got some bands that you're keen to see. I'm still keen to see other bands, but yeah.
Yeah, Deftones, Kiss Chasey.
Kiss Chasey, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so can't wait. But the Story So Far, like you said, like, they've been one of my favorite bands for a long time. I've actually been listening to them without trying to be like a shameless like day one fan, but I've listened to them since the first EP. I think I've seen them every time they've come to Australia. And I like their first show that I saw of them when they toured Under Soil and Dirt was like still top five shows for me of all time. Like, I crowd surfed to that shit. Like, can you believe that? Can you imagine me crowd surfing at the Corner Hotel?
What, 13 years ago? Probably.
13 years ago? It was like 20 years ago.
2010? Didn't that come
out? It was like, oh yeah. Fuck, what am I doing?
You said 25 years they've been a band. So,
oh, I fucked that up. I fucked my math up. It's 15 years. Oh man, I'm horrible. I'm not on my game today. I've okay. got the Rosalind's glasses on.
That's okay, because 5 years earlier I was crowd surfing, so that's fine. I can see you doing it.
Keen. So, Story So Far, a pop punk band reigning from Walnut Creek in California, and have been around since 2007. When they started, they were led by Parker Cannon on vocals, Kevin Geyer on lead guitar, Kevin Ambrose on rhythm guitar, Ryan Torf on drums, and Kellen Kapener on bass. Now, in regards to people, they've had a pretty uneventful run with band members coming in and out. So there's actually only been two changes since the band started, which I think after doing anything like on this pod, I think finding out that most bands have quite a lot of changes that we've spoken to.
Yeah, especially early on.
Especially pop punk bands that I feel like is a rotating door of people getting cancelled. I think it's pretty impressive there's only been two. One of them was really early on, and we'll kind of briefly touch on that later. Kevin Ambrose left after the first demo was recorded, and Will Levy came on to replace him in rhythm and guitar. And more recently, just this year, Kellen Kapener on bass left the band.
Okay.
But we'll get to a bit of that later. So the band name, what do you think? Where'd it come from? Come on.
I remember seeing something. Was it from like a video game or something?
Nah, dude, come on. This is right up your alley.
No.
It is inspired by the song of the same name on Sticks and Stones by Newfound Glory.
Oh, yep.
It's the closer as well of one of my favorite pop punk albums. No wonder the Story So Far become one of my favorite bands. So it's all written in the stars at the moment. So when they started, they were really just college students who would play shows in between school, and eventually grew into something pretty quick. I think it's a pretty standard story. They had a 5-song demo, which came out in 2007 when the band started. And it's pretty wild to think 2007 was a demo. They didn't release anything else until 2010. They really just played those 5 songs for three-ish years, which makes sense. They were at school. They weren't really doing much. They were just playing shows in between things and yeah. So they released a demo. Kevin left the band and Will came in to replace, as I mentioned, and shortly after they were signed to Pure Noise, which I thought was pretty interesting. They're still signed to Pure Noise.
Straight off the demo, they were signed.
In 2010, they were signed to Pure Noise.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
That's nuts, bro. And they're still signed to Pure Noise after all this time.
Yeah.
I
like that.
Couldn't find much on about like shows from the time. They must have been really fucking tight. Like playing. So they were signed to Pure Noise and they released their first EP While You Were Sleeping in May of 2010, which if anyone's listening, I really need this on vinyl. It's really limited. I've never seen it come up ever, not even on Discogs. If anyone's got it or know where I can get it, please let me know. But anyway, it was super raw. It really got them out there, you know, and I think a lot of finding news articles and in magazine articles, there was little buzzes about it, not a lot, but it started getting them out there. Obviously, being signed to a label like Pure Noise, they would have been plugging it. Pop punk was a really weird place at the time. I feel like Blink just kind of went on a break, or like we're about to come back with Neighborhoods or Neighbors, whatever the fuck it was called.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but like, do you remember much of the pop punk scene at the time?
2010.
Yeah.
Not really. I think I was probably listening to something like Real Friends or something like that. Is that too early for them?
I think it was too early.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, but I don't remember a heap. Like, I remember listening to older pop punk, like older Fall Out Boy and Newfound Glory still, 4 Year Strong, stuff like that. I don't think there was really much in the pop punk space at the time that was quite like this.
No, definitely not.
So they did the thing. They toured the EP. No, they didn't really tour with anyone super notable that really stood out today. But then a year later in 2011, they released Under Soil and Dirt. Now, this album, in my opinion, changed the game for pop punk. I think it really started, like I mentioned it before in the intro, this album really started this whole new age of pop punk that we all still love today.
Yeah.
I think bands like Neck Deep came from albums like this. A plethora of other bands did as well. But I think this album was really the one that changed the game, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's a really good album. I think it's... Yeah. So doing the research, I know we probably want to touch on this a little bit later, but I did feel a big jump in just 1 year from the EP.
Oh, yeah.
To Under Soil and Dirt. And it was like adventurous and stuff like that. But yeah, I can see how it absolutely changed the game.
I think it pushed pop punk forward, right? Like, it was aggressive. It had like that punk aggression, right? But I think it was still playful and fun. And for me, I think it kind of introduced this new wave of like sad boy vibes.
Mm-hmm.
The lyric game was like on point. You know, it kind of like, I remember listening to this record for the first time and thinking there weren't many bands doing it like that. There was sad music out there, sure. But I don't think there was this kind of element of whingy, like sad boy stuff like this record was. And I think that appealed to a lot of people, I think, anyway.
Yeah. I'm just looking through my music from 2010.
Yeah.
And I would have been like, Young Bloods, Deep Blue,
yeah,
all that kind of stuff come out. What Separates Me From You. There's not a lot of pop punk in there at all. And that's 2010. And the only one that's kind of close is the first Iron Chick record. And that's kind of like punk. So
who talks about that today? That's my thing. Like, I know I'm sounding like a fucking spoiled brat.
Who talks about that today?
New Age pop punk. I've never heard you talk about that album.
No. But the other album that came out in 2010 was The Upsides by The Wonder Years.
Well, there you fucking go.
So that's the only one that I can see. But you're right. I think so. They're on that pop punk's on a bit of a plateau, maybe on a bit of a decline in those late 2000s.
Yeah.
And this kind of just put it back on the map for sure.
Yeah. So they release that record and like reading through, trying to grab whatever I could about the thoughts around the band when that album came. So, do you listen to Transit?
Yes, I have, yeah.
So, Kellen Kapaner on bass, he like was caught quoting that record, Transit's Keep This To Yourself, was a massive influence on the record.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a big reason why the album was 14 tracks. It was a big reason the way like they wrote the album. Like, just that was really probably one of the biggest stylistic kind of influences on it, which...
Yep.
I haven't listened to that record properly, but I'm definitely going to after this.
Yeah.
I think one other thing I found that was pretty cool was they were really high when they recorded the record. they were quoted that Parker Cannon said, quote, makes us look at ourselves from an outside perspective and not be assholes,
mm-hmm.
which is the most story so far thing I've ever heard. so they did a bunch of touring after that, most notably, which I thought was really cool. They ended that tour around supporting Newfound Glory on this Sticks and Stones 10-year anniversary tour, which, you know, that they got their name from that album. You know, they're a young pop punk band, and then you're telling me you're supporting Newfound Glory on that tour? It's a full circle moment, really.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And that was also when I first saw them. Not on that tour, but on the album run. They came to Australia, and it was just one of the craziest things. They only had the album and then the EPs, and it was silly how good it was at the Corner Hotel. I went to like a matinee show, like it was nuts.
That's the time to see a band like that, because they're like, they're eager to please,
yeah,
in a way, and they've got a small catalog, so they're going to play your favorite songs.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is, which is what you want.
Yeah, it was great. And still, to like I said, to my day, to this day, one of the best shows I've been to. But anyways, I could get all, I'll get more reminiscent of it. But anyways, we'll move on. 2013 comes along and they release What You Don't See. I think it's arguably a favorite among fans. And Kapana was quoted again, saying they weren't aiming to write a record that was different to Under Soil and Dirt. They really just wanted to take that sound they had and kind of refine it, which I think when I read that, I was like, they did that.
Yeah. And that's what I was saying off mic, that like, I don't pick a difference between those two albums a lot. Like,
yeah,
sonically.
No.
Sonically.
Yeah. I think he said as well in the same interview, he thinks the album shows maturity, but retains the same youthful energy and angst that they've always loved. Yeah. And I think that's a perfect way of kind of explaining it. Like, it is. It sounds the same. It probably sounds a bit more tidied and polished around the edges.
Yeah.
And, you know, the pop punk elements, like, it makes you just want to jump. Like, it's there. It's probably there in a better way. And, yeah, I thought that was pretty cool that they acknowledged that they were just trying to do the same thing. Not many bands will come out and say that.
If it's not broken, don't fix it kind of thing.
No. So as that happened, honestly, from here on out, it was really hard to find a lot about the band.
Okay.
But one thing I did that did come up quite a lot was a lot of people talking about how aggressive and unapologetic the band was in that era. And a lot of the things were how misogynistic the lyrics were during those releases. Like a lot of bands were in the scene. Mm-hmm. And a lot of bands that did kind of catapult them into success, right? Those kind of like, fucking you broke my heart, fuck you, bitch, kind of stuff, right? but I think it was just really interesting that from here on, the tone kind of changed with the band. And I'm not sure, like, you obviously didn't listen to it back then, but do you notice that listening back? Does it make you uncomfortable at all? Or?
I don't know if it makes me uncomfortable. I don't really know if I've sat with, are you talking about What You Don't See and Under Soil and Dirt? Or are you talking about, I don't think it makes me feel uncomfortable, but I don't know if I've listened to it enough to kind of have it resonate with me all that much.
Yeah. I mean, it's really interesting coming from that era, right? Like we just watched the Parkway Drive doco and they talk about how toxic the scene is, right?
Yeah.
And it's almost like, we know it's toxic, but, and I didn't just mean in misogynistic ways. I'm talking like men talking about their mental health, all that kind of stuff, bullying, all that bullshit. And I think it's interesting to know that like we were in this whole scene at the time and it was just like the norm. It's a really, it kind of feels dirty saying it like that way.
Yeah.
But I thought it was an interesting point. I'm not trying to make this my point, but I read a lot about this when doing my research for this episode and I couldn't really not mention it.
Yeah. But it shows their age as well. Like, another album that kind of gets that kind of criticism is Glassjaw's first album.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's very much that, in like very misogynistic. Like, one of the lyrics is like, if you can lead a whore to water. Like, that's one line. But it comes from a 19-year-old kid that doesn't have any other way to express himself. Yeah. So you're looking at this as well. Like, these guys are straight out of college. Expect them to have the life experience to be able to express themselves like they are in proper dose, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we got to cut them some slack a little bit there. Like,
yeah.
But it's kind of hard. What do? You take all the music down and re-record it and then change it. And
I don't know. We're not here to answer those questions. We're just here to report on the pressing topics that no one asked for. So moving on. So I didn't say that for no reason. A lot of the articles talked about how, you know, that kind of criticism at the time, and, you know, the scene was changing in 2013. And the society was changing in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of led to this next wave of the story so far. And I think you can really feel that shift from What You Don't See to What Comes Next. And so What You Don't See came out in March of 2013. In June, 3 months later, they released their split with Stick to Your Guns, which featured their most streamed song on Spotify in Clairvoyant.
Like 36 million or something.
36, rookie numbers, Dave. 53 million streams.
On Spotify? Or
right now, yeah, I looked just like an hour ago.
Oh.
Are you going to fact check me? I saw you went to grab the phone, I saw you.
No, I thought it was 35, my bad, sorry.
Now, the next biggest is only 24 million.
Yeah.
Which is off What You Don't See. I think that's pretty hectic. And I think like it kind of showed a more intimate side and a probably a bit more of a different side to the story so far. They hadn't released anything like that yet. And I think if that song didn't come out and it wasn't as successful as it was, I don't think the story so far would be what they are today.
Yeah. And it's like it's an acoustic track as well. It's not like really a pop punk track. It's an acoustic ballad track.
It's a good acoustic. It's not like those pop punk acoustic stuff that they get the guitar out and it's all fucking giddy.
Yeah, like it's slow.
Singing about leaving their hometown. It's actually like they got sad.
Yeah.
So 2014 comes and this band's arguably like at the top of their game, right? And it probably isn't the apex mountain when we're talking about their time in the scene, but you know, they feature on the cover of Alt Press of 100 Bands You Need to Know. That issue in 2014, they ended up being one of the main headliners for the Warped Tour, and actually did the whole tour, which I thought was pretty insane. And that's kind of how they ended that 4 years of signing to Pure Noise and doing this big four run. That's pretty big.
Yeah.
You know, the Sticks and Stones tour, Warped Tour, two massive albums, the great it's acoustic
tour. Quick rise too.
Quick rise, super quick. Super quick. I remember like when all those songs came out, it was like, what's going to happen next? Like, what are they going to do? A lot of bands, after they kind of hit to that point, it's like, well, what are they going to release next?
Yeah.
And Self-Titled came out in 2015. And I didn't know this, but it was their first record that they actually all sat down and wrote together, like as a complete band.
Cool.
Which I thought was pretty cool. I think I love hearing stories like that when a band like does something different to how they used to write music. And I know, like my favorite band, Neck Deep, had a moment like this and it released like arguably my favorite record by them. But they did it. It was the first time they wrote it all together and it became their favorite record to date. Like they'd spoken to many times during that peak. It charted on the billboards for their first time. So they charted at 23 on the billboards, which I thought was pretty cool. Not to mention they charted on Australia ARIA charts for the first time at 35.
That's pretty epic, isn't it?
I didn't know that, but that's a really cool nugget. That's nearly better than the Billboard's chart. So that kind of happened. Like I said, there's not a lot of history here for the band from here on out, really. But then Proper Dose came out in 2018, and it was arguably their biggest step change, right?
Yeah.
Definitely incorporated more indie rock elements into the release. I mean, I felt like at its core, it still felt like the story so far, but it was different. It was definitely different. I don't think this is an interesting one. It was their strongest charting record in week one at 19, but then it dropped off. It didn't even land in the Billboard the second week. So I don't know if that means that people listened to it and hated it. but it got to 19 and then it jumped out.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It would have maybe alienated a few of those early fans, but,
yeah, it was different. I remember listening to it for the first time on release and being like, what the fuck is this? Like, a tambourine was in there. Like, fucking, it was a bit acoustic. I was like, this feels different.
Yeah.
But
that's their most mature sounding album. The problem is that they've been around for 25 years and they've released four albums.
Fuck off, Dave.
They've been around 15 years and
smoker's cough.
Four albums. So generally a band that's been around for that long has released like five or six albums. Yeah. So they're actually making that jump a little bit slower and they've just made a bit of a leap there, which like I don't have an issue with because like Proper Dose is probably their best album, I think, for me.
Whoa, spoilers, bro.
Their best.
Oh, yeah,
but, right. Yeah, they're most mature and it's like... they've got to grow up some stage. And it's like how we talk about Blink's Untitled, that's a completely different jump from Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, and that's the same thing. Like, they just grow up in the 3 years is a long time in adult life. A lot can happen.
I guess this is growing up. Am I right, Dave? All right. Anyways, I think what was really cool to note, one last thing before we get into some other stuff, when they toured this album, they started touring with bands like Citizen, Basement, Turnover, Movements. They brought those bands on tour. And I think it was their first real step away from pop punk shows, like true pop punk shows. Like, they toured with Man Overboard, they toured with Newfound Glory a bunch of times. They were that kind of marquee pop punk band. And then I think they started to change, which I thought was really cool because I love all those bands. So it was like right up my alley.
Yeah.
And they played a show with Basement on that run. Were you at that show? Were you on board then?
No, I haven't seen them.
They played a co-headline with Basement at, I saw them at Billboards. Oh, Billboards? Yeah, 170 Russell. And it was so fucking good, dude. Like, one of the best shows I've been to. And I think what was really interesting about it is we talk about, I'm going to get to it later on, but it's like their whole demeanor had changed. So when we talk about after when Clairvoyant came out and they were like trying to veer away from this kind of image of aggressive pop punk, you know, like angry, they kind of got to this bit more mature, maybe a bit more respectable. I'm not sure. Like, probably not. I'll talk to some examples coming up. But, it just felt like a big step away. And even when you saw them live, like the first show, he was fucking like pop punk jumping on stage and doing flips and like, you know, getting aggressive, shoving mics down people's throats and stuff like that. To this, he was standing up there on a tambourine, you know, like with his looking like fucking someone out of Oasis with his sunglasses on. And it just felt different, which is fine. Like, the music still slaps, but you could really tell that there was a big step change there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So from that, there isn't a lot that's really happened. Obviously, that album came out in 2018. They toured it for a bit. They came here and played Download 1 year, which was really cool. And then COVID happened. And then this year, earlier in the year in May, Kellen Kapaner, the bassist, who arguably one of the most vocal in the band, did a lot of interviews, was really like probably the second in charge to Parker, announced on Twitter that he was not being involved in the story so far anymore. No one knows why. Apparently it was creative differences, which I don't know what that means when you've been in the band since the start. You know, you've grown as a band.
Yeah.
It makes me a bit nervous for what's to come, but he left the band and I think that kind of sucks.
But yeah. It's always sad to see a bassist go.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So that's kind of the history. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Pretty standard pop punk band history.
Like, somehow, been talking for 25 minutes. Sorry, everyone. But yeah, fuck it. It's my favorite band. One of my favorite bands. I'm going to talk about them.
Yeah. It's kind of a cool story how they've got like, there's like almost two areas of,
I really like
of
it.
The band. And so you've got the early days and then there's like the misogyny era and then the
Well, let's talk about era. Parker Cannon. I think he's a hot topic in some circles, but
yeah,
the verdict's out at this point. We're no judge, jury, or executioner. But what I can tell you is, delivery
man.
We've seen that video. We talked about it recently in one of our chats. In 2016, Parker Cannon kicked a woman off stage, which I thought was obviously a hot topic. I remember when that happened. It was like, what the fuck is happening? But I'm not going to give my opinion on that. But what I thought was really interesting that I didn't know about, and I don't know how I missed it. I don't know where I was in 2014, but I didn't realize on that Warped Tour... he beat up a security guard because they pushed a fan down that was crowd surfing.
Oh,
that's nuts. I mean, I got to find that footage, but, he beat up a security guard.
What during the set?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty
cool. And it took it to the point where people started like cheering him on. No one was angry about it. They're like, yeah, like fuck the sicky.
Yeah. stick it to the man. That's punk.
They made t-shirts about it. Like, yeah. Pretty, but I mean, it's a bit fucked up, like poor security guard, but
yeah,
I think it just goes to like, you know, this band's always had this kind of anger and angst to it. And I think, I'm not sure what to think of it, right? I'm not sure. Parker Cannon is polarizing. And I think you're never going to win everyone over. But
aren't all these creatives the same, like in that way, mostly polarizing, except for like polarizing, Dave Grohl?
What a legend. How good's Dave Grohl?
Yeah.
But he's the I would pay good person, money to see. We'll go on.
He's the only person in the scene that's probably got the squeakiest clean record.
I would love to see Dave Grohl replace Parker Cannon in the story so far for a night. That would make a really good episode. We should do, if Dave Grohl was to cover any of the bands you love, what would it be and why?
Okay.
We're I'll not write doing it that. Down. Sorry. That's really it, dude. That's the history.
Yeah. So Parker's gone on to do a couple of other things, hasn't he, though? So he's...
No pressure.
So he can't be that far gone where
I just think
other members of other bands want to work with him. So he may have come out the other end. Like it's like 8 years ago, 2014.
Yeah, this the scene is unforgiving.
Or forgiving. Depends who you support. Depends what venture on.
Well, it depends if you listen to All Time Low, like some of our international listeners, you can't have an opinion on this matter. So another shout out to our friends. We love talking about cancelled bands with you. Anyways.
Should we go through the albums and the EP?
Question.
Okay.
Does the Glass Smash come now or later? Because I fucked it up at the start.
It comes with the pressing,
the power rankings. All right, let's talk about albums.
Yes.
Where are we starting?
Let's start at the earliest.
So just to cover, so we're only talking about the first EP and the records and the albums.
Yes, and the albums.
All right.
You can talk about the 5-song EP, the one with the dog on the front. I left that out of my research because I didn't think it was a, like, yeah, unique songs on it. So
we don't have to really talk about it. Like, it will come up, but we'll see how we go. Sure. So While You Were Sleeping, 2010.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on this? You've gone back and listened to it?
Yeah, I listened to it. It's pretty raw, like most EPs are. Yeah. You can definitely hear the backbone of the band. Like it's the initial sound is there, so they haven't they weren't like a hardcore band that turned into a pop punk band. They've already had that foundation there. So
yeah,
it wasn't a bad listen.
I think it's I really love this EP. Like I said, this is where I came on. So Snyder Street, the last song on that record, was the first song I ever heard by them. I remember listening to it and thinking, like, Snyder Street's arguably one of the softer songs on the record. So it's still got pop punk, but it's a bit more, you know, melodic as it ends and probably more up my alley. And I remember just listening to it being like, this is a bit different to some other things I've been listening to. Yeah. Still got that pop punk that I love. Still a bit emo, a bit sad. Like, I loved it, right? And it just kind of, it sparked my interest and it kind of became a bit of a cult thing for me. Like, not a lot of my friends listened to the story so far early on, but the ones that did, like, I know that they're diehard fans and I still see them at shows and in the mosh and stuff like that. And I think this EP really did it all. It started it all. You know, it was probably in a time I was in high school, meeting friends that were into this probably more underground stuff that people weren't like really in the mainstream.
Yeah.
And it was just, a great EP for mine. Go listen to it.
Yeah. I think with these EPs, we tend to say the same things about them, that they're raw and kind of laying the foundations. And for someone like me that's gone listening to it like 12 years later, it's kind of hard for me to kind of judge how I would have felt about it back then if I picked it up straight off the bat. But there is elements of nostalgia there, of wanting that kind of music at that time that I wish I knew about it.
I think as well, what's something that can be really understated when talking about music in retrospect is where you were in life.
Yeah.
I was in high school, man. Like I was at the end of high school, chasing girls, all those problems, like, fuck, what am I going to do with my life? This pop punk and this new wave of pop punk came at like the perfect time, you know? So when I think back of it, as much as I think about the music and kind of I'm judging the music based on that, I remember how I was feeling back then. I listened to a song and I'm like, fuck, I remember I was like wanting to be an aspiring graphic designer and I thought life was really hard and all this bullshit. And I think that has to play into why I love this EP so much.
Yeah, for sure.
So a year later, Under Soil and Dirt, the big dog, in my opinion.
Yeah, there's a lot of good tracks on here.
Front to back, it slaps. Front to back, it slaps. No skips, yeah. Bops. Like, yeah. But you feel things from front to end. You know, it makes you want to mosh. It makes you want to just sit down and kind of like think about your life. It just does everything. And I think this just springboarded them into like the mainstream.
Yeah. I remember seeing this, like the cover a lot. Oh, it's actually What You Don't See. I used to see a lot. But yeah, the recognize the cover everywhere. Like it was kind of unavoidable, but I just wasn't in that scene at the time. Like I was
Tumblr was big when this record came out too.
Yeah. But I was fully into my started listening to Touché in 2011. So like I wasn't really a pop punk kid anymore.
Yeah. Sad.
Yeah. That's okay though. I like it now, so that's the main thing, isn't it?
I mean, this wouldn't be an episode if I didn't come out with some like grand statements, sweeping statements that someone's going to fact check me on in a week's time. But this album is, I'm going to stand by it. It's what started this new wave. If someone can come to me and tell me what the album was that started the new wave of pop punk, we'll talk about it next episode. But I don't believe there is one. I think this is where it started. If you had to move it to a centralized location, it's here. It blew up on Tumblr. Every second person had it as their Twitter handle, like a song, Mount_Diablo, Mount Diablo with a fucking zero in it. Like, it was just everywhere. And I'd been to, like, pop punk shows of little local bands. And I'd seen bands like fucking Blink and stuff like that. Nothing stacks up to the energy from this. I think they just captured a crowd and a people at a certain point in time that I haven't really seen probably since, like, the mainstream emo stuff. To be honest, I know it wasn't too far before that, but pop punk's pretty niche and it still is pretty niche, I think, in some respects. And Neck Deep came from this band. State Champs came from this band. A lot of bands came from this time and it's a great album. It's like one of the best.
Yep, I agree. And I'm just looking at 2011 now.
Yep.
And there's like some pretty heavy hitters in the pop punk scene that came at the same time. The Wonder Years Suburbia.
I think that was different though.
It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different, but I think it kind of helped. And there's a couple of, there's like Into It Over It, Poured Out Proper, just earlier before that. But not really a lot. So like you can really see that, oh, Mayday Parade, self-titled, came out before it. But, like, if you're looking for, like, emo, pop-punk, there wasn't a lot around for new.
Like, I'm not going to dispute, like, Suburbia by The Wonder Years is arguably one of the best pop-punk records of all time. But I don't think that album brought the scene along with it. I think it was just a perfect moment in time of pop-punk at that time.
Yeah.
I think this record came out and it was like, you're like pop punk, or we're going to fucking jam it down your throat and be like
100%.
As the sun sets over Mount Diablo, fucking just like double fist in the air. Fucking let's go. Anyways, that was awkward. Let's move on. I'm so glad we're not ever going to use the recording of these videos because there'll be some fucking shocking footage. What You Don't See, 2013, the infamous, this was like the meme album. Like people were talking about Parker Cannon, Who Hurt You, Peter Griffin, Listen to the Headphones. It was all over Tumblr. It was all over Twitter. It was everywhere. Facebook. What do you remember of this album at the time?
Nothing.
Oh, that's anticlimactic, Dave. You meant to help me out?
Yeah. I don't remember anything about like the story so far until like 2018, so I'm really sorry.
This record, I think we kind of explained it perfectly. It was just a continuation of what worked in Under Soil and Dirt. It was a bit more refined. I loved it just because it was that, but I didn't leave this album being like, what's next? Like, I'm really excited for what's next. I left this album being like, yeah, it was good. I still preferred Under Soil and Dirt. For a long time, I preferred Under Soil and Dirt. These songs kind of were just there. And when I put on Shuffle, I wouldn't skip them. It was good. But Under Soil and Dirt was still like the king. And this was just like, yeah, it's new music. Like, I'm not going to be upset about it. Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to recapture that feeling of a first find.
Or like they did it really well. And like, we'll talk through the songs later on. No spoilers. But like, there are some heavy hitters on this record. And I know that like a lot of people, I think it's a lot of people's favorite, to be honest. Like, the songs go off at shows, as you'll find out next week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of good about this album. But it just felt like, yeah, another Story So Far album, like whatever.
Yeah. It could have been a lot of people's first albums. Like, oh, it's probably got a little bit of more media coverage and stuff like that. So it might have just been out there for a lot of people. Could have been their first. So, yeah. I think the artwork really put me off a little bit too. Like, when I was like, you know, the artwork grabs you initially. So it's just one of those things.
Well, fair enough, Dave.
Yeah.
You do you.
So 2 years later, they released Self-Titled.
Well, so can I just talk about Songs Of real quick?
Okay, let's talk about Songs Of.
Really, really quick, really quick. They released the EP. So this came out, 2014? After they'd done that run of touring for What You Don't See in the Warped Tour and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think on the back of Clairvoyant coming out that we spoke through before, I think there was this kind of like, when I think about the scene and like our scene at the time, like, how do I describe this? I feel like everyone was kind of feeling things more. It was less about, you know, the angst. It was more about feeling the emotion, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And I think the acoustic stuff is just what the scene needed. People obviously loved Clairvoyant, and I think they noticed that, and they said, fuck it, let's release some acoustic songs. It was really great. One of my favorite records, one of my first records I actually ever bought. And like Navy Blue is a great track on it. I just wanted to kind of call it out. It was a nice little moment in time for them. And I think it was actually a really good bridge between What You Don't See to Self-Titled,
mm-hmm.
which 2015. What do you think?
Yeah.
Do you like it?
Yeah, it's fine. Like, I haven't really given the EPs all that much time, to be honest. Like,
no, I'm talking about the album, 2015.
Oh, the album. Okay. I like the album. I think it flows really well, and it is a little bit of the same sonically, mm-hmm. but you can see that it's like that stepping stone towards Proper Dose. And
I think a lot of their albums are, within themselves, are pretty similar sonically. Like, it feels like one big track nearly.
Yeah. I think their discography, you could pick a song to someone who's like probably got the same knowledge as me, and you would say, oh, that could be from any album between the demo and Self-Titled.
Hmm.
That's my, that's how I feel a little bit about it.
It's a good take. I think this album, arguably, objectively, I think it's their best album.
Okay.
If I'm taking a step back, I don't think it's their biggest and probably most important, but musically, I think it's so tight. Like, it's really great.
Yeah.
And it's so clean and refined, but it kind of still got that angst from their early stuff, but it's got that maturity in a way. They took a step forward. It didn't feel like just another teenage, like, whinging pop punk record. Yeah. It felt like they kind of had something to say, even though they didn't have anything to say, but it just felt that way.
Yeah.
I think it's a great record. I can't wait to see these songs next week, Dave. You're coming in the pit with me. Let's go. It's going to be fun.
Can't wait. I'm getting limbering up. Windmill. As we speak. Yeah.
Doosh, doosh. Oh my God. I'm glad these videos are never going to see the light of day. Anyways. The last album, Proper Dose. Now, I feel like you have something to say about this.
Yeah, I think it's bangers from start to front.
Facts. Start to front. No cap. Back.
No cap.
On God.
this is my entry point for the band, and like, I think it came on like Spotify radio or something like that.
Mm.
And I didn't recognize like the album art or anything like that. And I was like, oh, what's this? So I queued it up, like the whole album up and really just put some time into it. I think it's really awesome.
That's a really cool way. I think that's one thing with playlist, this whole playlist culture. I think it's a really cool way for people to find music. And I know a lot of my favorite bands today, I found out that way.
Mm-hmm.
That's real cool.
Yeah.
I think this album. Yeah, I think this album. It was a bit polarizing, to be honest, when it first came out. So, they released a single out of it, the year before, and I thought an album was coming, but it just ended up being just a single for like 5 months or something. And I liked it. I liked the single a lot. I think the single was a good single to lead with because it still had the pop punk elements to it, but it had the fucking tambourine and it was still a bit like what's going on? This is a bit weird. And I think cause I sat with that song for like nearly 6 months, when the album came out, I was a bit angsty. I wanted more songs. And then the album came out and it starts with this like acoustic guitar and it feels like really airy fairy. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? You know, Upside Down comes on the record and I'm like, this feels really strange. Like we'd had the mature pop punk thing. We'd had the acoustic thing. This felt like a blend. And I was just like, fuck, all right. I remember first listening, I was like, okay, I'm not listening to it anymore today. I need to go home, sit down, put my headphones in and just kind of like really focus on it.
Yep.
And I listened to it and then I found myself wanting to go back and listen to songs like, what's the song called? Take Me As You Please. Yeah, Take Me As You Please, track 4. I remember I kept thinking that song every day and I was like, that song I want to go back and back to. And it wasn't really a Story So Far song. It felt probably one of the most removed Story So Far songs on the record.
Yep.
And I think Parker's voice was really good and I really enjoyed it. I kept going back and all of a sudden it's great. Like it's probably the album that's going to age the best.
Yeah.
Out of all the ones I have. And I think it's just aged better and better with time. Fantastic album. One of my favorites. And it's probably my prettiest Story So Far record as well. We'll take a moment for your fallen record. Where's the splatter? Where's the white?
The white's there. There's no purple splatter. But you said it really well. I think every time I listen to it, I kind of hear something new or just like kind of discover something. Like it's not just your regular, just kind of meat and potatoes pop punk. And I think it's really
cool. It's a sing along record. Like I could sit around a campfire and have Parker sing at me and I'd be like, yeah, let's all hold hands and like kumbaya, let's go with this shit. Yeah. Right. Like you listen to the Story So Far's discogs front to end. And Webby, if you're listening, we're doing it next week when we're driving to Melbourne, you have no say in it. And we're going to feel some things. We're going to get emotional. And when this record comes on, it's just like, I feel like new life.
Yep.
That's a really fucking weird way to say it, but yeah, I think it's just, it feels so good. It's a breath
of fresh air.
And now we don't know what's going to happen next. Like they've been posting photos since like April that they're in the studio and I'm fucking waiting for a song. Hopefully they play something next week that's new. That'd be pretty cool. Who knows? But that's a pretty bang on discography. Not to mention the splits they have. Pretty solid.
Yeah, I think you could jump in anywhere and become a fan. And
I agree.
And enjoy it. Not really a bad album on there.
I think as time has gone on as well, like you don't have to like pop punk to like Proper Dose.
Yeah, true.
And you don't have to like Proper Dose to like the early stuff, right? Or you can just like the early stuff. There's enough music there that you can find and you can love. So great discography, actually.
Now, Phil, where do you think the Story So Far stacks up in regards to bands like Newfound Glory? I know I ask you this question almost every time we have a pop punk band. So we've had Mayday Parade on.
I mean, we spoke about this. I don't really see Mayday Parade in that realm, to be honest.
No.
Like, I get they kind of are, but they're kind of a different side of this whole pop punk thing. They're probably a bit more, I don't know. I think if we're talking true pop punk, they are against Newfound Glory. So Newfound Glory is arguably the goats, right? So
Are they like the modern Newfound Glory, or are they
This is a really hard question. I think they are like the bridge. So I think when I think about modern day pop punk, I think Story So Far, like, they've gone into this new realm, right? Like we said, they're touring with bands like Basement, Turnover, Citizen. They're kind of going to this new kind of like wave, right, of pop punk, and which is fine, but you still got bands like Neck Deep, State Champs, Real Friends are still kicking it, and they're probably a bit more generic pop punk now that they've got a new singer.
Yeah.
I think they're kind of the leaders of pop punk now, right? I think that couldn't have happened without the Story So Far. So if I'm thinking of bands and kind of, how do I put this? This is really hard. They're almost like the Bring to the Horizon of pop punk. They kind of were this bridge between like the early shit and this metalcore sound and progression and move it forward.
Yeah,
that's like kind of what the Story So Far have done in a way.
Yeah.
They've kind of, they've come out with this pop punk that is very much the same of, you know, it was different at the time. They've moved it forward. They've evolved. And now the scene's kind of gone off with it. You look at albums like Architects, right? They've pretty much done what Bring Me the Horizon were doing one or two albums ago, right? And I think, I know that's a probably weird way to put it because they're different kind of realms of music, but they're two of my favorite bands, and I think that's why. I think they've kind of influenced my taste in such a big way. And I think at the end of the day, they're not going to get the credit they deserve when it comes to pop punk, to be frank. I don't think they will, but I think they deserve to be up there. I'm going to pull a number out of my ass here. Maybe top 10 that'd have to be in pop punk bands, in my opinion.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm just trying to think of current bands that would be bigger on that pop punk scale, and I don't think there's many.
I don't think there's many.
That,
I
mean, are, I'm still a bit biased,
because Neck Deep's my favorite pop punk band, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're my number one pop punk band, and I don't think they're probably, they're my favorite, but I don't think they're better than Story So Far necessarily.
Yeah.
State Champs are pretty big, but they're just as generic as it comes. Like, they're not pushing the needle on anything.
Yeah.
Real Friends are there. Fuck else. I don't know.
Yeah. There's like, there's not as widespread as your metalcore kind of areas, but hopefully they influence some new bands to come up.
Well, here we go. I'm looking at similar artists now on Apple. Neck Deep are there. Real Friends are there. State Champs are there. You've got Knuckle Puck, we didn't mention.
Yeah,
they could be there soon. Like, they're getting a bit more mainstream and a bit bigger, but they're not quite, I don't think. They're not quite Neck Deep, State Champs level. Then you've got the Wonder Years, who they're hitting out hits, right? Like, their new album was okay, very much of the same, which I'm fine with because I love that sound.
Yeah.
They've got bands like Seaway, nowhere near as big. Citizen, nah. Man Overboard, bit has-beens at this point now. I like them, but Handguns, Turnover, like, Story So Far, like, they led the path for that.
Yeah,
they got to be maybe even top five. I don't know.
Top five of this current era, I would definitely cement that in.
Current era, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think you can't compete against bands like Saves the Day. Say Anything.
Saves the Day. Say Anything. The Academy Years.
Newfound
Glory, Ocean Avenue are five bands that are better than them. We're not here to kind of shit on them either.
No, but I think, like, they'd be probably on top of the new age. The new age wouldn't have happened without them, in my honest opinion.
Yeah.
And that's fine, you know, but I don't think they'll get the respect in, when we're 20 years older, Dave, I don't think people are going to be talking about the Story So Far the way we are right now.
And that's sad, isn't it?
You never know, though. They could come out with the next record and it could be an absolute banger. I think we're really quick in the scene to, like, condemn bands after a bad album. I think of bands like Architects, like, even think Blink, you know?
Yeah.
People have been shitting on Blink the last two albums, right? So, yeah, I think we're really, history's not going to be kind to the Story So Far, but that's okay.
So should we get into the main part of the episode, which is where we've already used our one glass smash for the day. No, so we'll have to.
I've got more glass here, Dave. We can keep smashing, bro.
Let's smash that glass. Get into the power rankings.
Power rankings. So, how do we do this again? Do you just do all of them? Number five. Who you got?
We alternate. Okay. I've got While You Were Sleeping is number five.
Controversial. I've got Proper Dose.
Yeah, it's your list.
I mean, I think let's just put a caveat over this. I think it's quite clear that I think every record is like no less than an 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
So although Proper Dose is my fifth, it's still fucking great.
Yeah, we have to rank them. This is a gun to the head ranking, okay? So yep. We have to rank them.
So it's a bit number four, Dave. Just relax, all right? We're in Australia. Jesus.
No, it's just an. All right. Now, number four is for me, What You Don't See.
Well, interesting. Mine was While You Were Sleeping.
Okay. Your number three?
My number three was What You Don't See.
Okay.
Yours?
My number three is Self-Titled.
My number two is Self-Titled.
Ooh. My number two is Under Soil and Dirt.
And my number one is Under Soil and Dirt.
My number one is Proper Dose.
That's awesome. Can you believe? So if you take my number five and put it number one and bring everything down, that's your ranking.
Yeah. Okay.
So Under Soil and Dirt's my number one. It had to be there because it's just the record. Nostalgia, fucking influence. I wouldn't have listened to pop punk as much as I did in my adult life if it wasn't for that record. Straight up. Fall Out Boy was moving away from pop punk. Like, the Wonder Years were the Wonder Years, but there wasn't really much else. I wasn't looking for new stuff, and then, bang, this record.
Yep. Totally understand. And it would have been number one for me if I didn't find the band through Proper Dose. So that's why Proper Dose is number one for me. I think it as an album, they're both interchangeable for one.
Do you have all these on vinyl?
I've only got Proper Dose.
We didn't need to change that.
Yeah,
actually, no, we can't. We've got to save for Furnace Fest. We just need, you know what we need to do, Dave? We just need to move in together so we can cut down all our expenses and we can share the vinyl. Then we're fine.
We just need a vinyl room.
Yeah.
Vinyl house and then a living house.
Yeah, exactly. Two houses. Yeah.
All right. So next we're going into the songs. So we'll start from number five. I lost my honorable mentions. I don't know where they went. So I really enjoyed what we did in the Light of Speed episode where we did a lyric and
yeah, I like it.
Tried to guess it. So my first lyric is back and forth because I can't understand how you control my lust, all of my lust and form my words on my tongue.
Is it Rally Cap?
No.
Ah, fuck. I don't know. What is it?
Heavy Gloom.
I was kind of close. It kind of had that bass line in it. I was like, yeah. I can hear it, but I was a bit off. What a banger.
Yeah, great track.
Is this important that you kind of keep going on this? Is this the run?
No.
Oh, okay, great. So you're not going to get this one. There's a bit of a deep cut. So the lyric is, so get lost and find your way home.
Sorry.
It is 680 South on the split with Maker.
Okay. Yeah.
Now,
I'm never going to get that.
You know, I love talking, so hear me out on this one. This has one of the best melodies and is a perfect pop punk track, in my opinion. Go listen to it. It's even got like the screams in it that, you know, early Fall Out Boy had in like kind of in the background. It's just so fucking good. And like I said, it was one of the first songs I heard by the band after the EP. It was the split then and then the album. And they played this at that first show I went to and it just like crazy. So it's got to be in my top five.
Yeah, nice. You probably guess this straight off the bat. So
this is a lot of pressure, dude.
Yeah, so this is part of the three. So they're all going to be number two.
Don't you fucking steal one of my favorite songs. I think you are. Say it. I think I heard the start of it. Go.
What do you mean?
Say the lyric.
Okay.
Gun to your head, Dave. Say the fucking lyric.
We're never going to be the same again. Bury me, not your friend. Bury me, I'm not your friend.
Swords and pens, my dude.
Yeah. I was just going to throw it away with that, the last line, but I thought...
Is this like because you know what you know my thoughts on this song?
No, because I like the song.
Maybe I spoke to Nick about this.
Continue. I know that you love the last bit.
Oh, yeah.
Not broken, just bent.
Not broken, just bent. Dave, shut up. You got it wrong.
Did I? Sorry. I don't have a
rhythm. Clip it up.
Clip it up.
Why do you like the song so much?
I think it's like an upbeat sounding song, and it's part of like that whole Under Soil and Dirt that is just really that classic pop punk sound. It's essentially what makes that album so good, and all the songs on the album so good. So it's really awesome, and that last beat is really cool because I don't know if there are there many songs that actually do that at the end where it's just like that one line at the end, like over silence a little bit.
Probably not as like a standout. Yeah. Definitely heard it like in themes, but not quite like that.
Yeah. I can't believe I stuffed the lyric up.
I'm going to clip that bad boy. You bet your ass I am.
That's right. I got 16 million other clips ready to go.
Of me. What have I got? So the lyric is, all of this frustrates me bad because I can't stay mad at you or change anything that I had. Navy Blue off Songs Of. Go listen to this after you listen to Joji, and it will be real sad boy hours for you, Dave. You're going to enjoy it. It's acoustic. Came out after Clairvoyant, like I mentioned. It just, like I mentioned, it's you think about albums that come out at a certain time in your life. In 2014, I was going through the motions, like, you know, decided I wasn't going to progress with like a design career that I thought I was going to do so badly. Career changes. Like it's funny. I wasn't sad at this point. It was just a lot happening, and it was a perfect example of a song that is a sad song, but it made me happy. I can't really explain it any differently to that. But that's my number four. Great song. Go listen to it. It's a great EP. It's on a 10-inch as well. Great bands have 10-inches, right?
Yeah. Great men do too.
fucking hell, Dave. This is a family podcast, and you come in with that shit.
We have 10-inches in our collection.
You are going to get yourself cancelled along with Parker Cannon.
Okay, so number three for me is I'm trying hard, real hard every day, not to lose my temper.
Oh my god. What song is it off? Don't tell me.
I'm not going to.
It's off self-titled, right?
No.
No, it's off Under Soil and Dirt. It's not Rome. It's...
Stop looking at your phone.
I'm just looking at the track listing. I know the song.
Smack bang in the middle.
It's not Mount Diablo.
No.
It's not Daughters. It probably is Daughters.
Mm-mm.
4 years.
Mm-mm.
High Regard? What the fuck, dude? I'm right. That's like all the middle songs.
It's in the middle of something I mentioned earlier.
Oh, The Quicksand?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. It's in the middle. That's track four. That's track three, idiot. You know. All right. Tell me why. Tell me why you like the song.
Pretty much the same reasons as Swords and Pens. And I just like the lyrics pretty...
So this is the run. So it's either going to be Rome or Swords and or High Regard next. Interesting.
Yeah. So you're up to number three.
Feeling Indigo. How about you? I feel Indigo.
Which split is this off?
It's not. It's not a split. It's on self-titled. It's in the bottom half.
The bottom half. I
do... Psych! It's number four.
So it's solo.
Yeah. I should have let you guess. I just can't help myself. Honestly, this track three could have been any song off this record. But I went with this one. I have such fond memories of seeing this live. So, like screaming those words before the verse kicks in. Just like I have an out-of-body experience when I do that, as I do with the next three songs. All the three songs I've got, or this song and the next two have got bits in the lyric that I've chosen is when you scream it out loud at the show, I just like something happens to me, man. Like I just feel like a new person.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyways. Tell me your track three, Dave.
My track three was Quicksand. So I'm up to track two.
Oh, you're up to track two. Oh, yes. Fuck, right.
So my track two, the lyric is, walk on the ridge, far away from the city. Friends of friends prove untrustworthy.
That's High Regard. It's not Rome. Yes, oh, it is Rome.
I just love this song because of the way the rhymes go.
Yeah.
And like, so originally I actually was listening to the whole discography on like Shuffle to try and pick my God, five Dave, songs.
What is wrong with you?
I felt adventurous. Man. And then I was looking at my list tonight. I was like, oh, wow, I've picked three songs in a row. And that was completely random. So,
really?
Yes. But Swords and Pens was number two. So I just put them in order.
I'm not going to lie. I'm trying to think ahead of what your favorite song of Proper Dose is.
Just worry about your own songs. So awesome track. I think it starts off really well too for the rest of the album. It's like,
yeah, great start to the album.
Yeah. So
it's got the guitars too, where it's like, dan, 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 dan.
Yeah. It just, fuck, you can bop to it. It's like
a vibe.
Yeah. Yep. So, I'm ready for your number two.
I know it seems like I'm always upset.
Is it okay?
You don't know?
Well, I don't know if you'll have an obvious number one or two. But I'm going to take a stab. I'm going to be wrong, aren't I? It's not clairvoyant, is it?
No, it's empty space of what you don't see. So when we talk about songs, so as an album, like I said, this album is, yeah, it was what it was after Under Soil and Dirt came out. But this song, like, it embodies the story so far of this whole era. It's really clean. It's the perfect new age pop punk song. It's anthemic. You know, you just want to scream the lyrics and then, like, just jump around with all your mates. It's just a perfect song. And so good live. Can't wait to see this next week.
See. Okay, so do you want to have a guess straight off the bat what song before I even say the lyric? Because I think lyric, you'll guess it straight away.
I don't know if I will, dude.
It's probably the catchiest lyric that I've got here.
Well, it's not Upside Down.
No.
That would have been easiest lyric. I couldn't tell you, dude. Every song on this album has a catchy line. I'm going to say it's going to be Keep This Up or Out of It.
Okay.
Am I close?
Maybe. 50-50.
Give me the lyric.
What's with the things I do to try to disconnect you two?
I think it's Out of It.
No, it's
Keep This Up. The other one. Damn it, I was so close.
Yeah. Yeah, I just that was actually the first song I ever heard, and that I kept going back to it, like you were saying with the was it Navy Blue?
Off this album though, it's Take Me As You Please.
Take Me As You Please, sorry. And yeah, just kept going back and back, and then as with Rome, it's like track number two, it just kind of sets the tone really well for the rest of the album for me.
Lovely. Lovely.
So, Phillip's number one. Sorry.
My number one. You kind of took the thunder. Not broke, just bent. Let's fucking go.
So, what did I say? Not broken. Sorry.
You said not broken.
Sorry. It was one letter.
You could have just told me to go fuck myself, Dave, instead and disrespect me like that.
Oh. Tell me why you love Swords and Pens.
This song, like, I'm going to get those words tattooed on me one day. I don't know how or where, but I'm getting them tattooed on me. This song has been my favorite Story So Far song since I first heard it. This is the song that I crowd surfed to, because as soon as it came on, I just went crazy. I'd never done anything like that before. I got on the stage. I kind of like jumped off. It was nuts. I'll never do anything like that again, I don't think. I think for me, it's like it's a fast track. Like the track's fast and it's like kind of heavy and aggressive. And then it has this like perfect pop punk bounce in the second half of the song. And you just like, just having fun. The lyrics are good. They resonated with me at the time. They still kind of resonate, I guess, in some ways. It's probably one of the first songs where you really felt like on the record, like, okay, this is like a sad boy record.
Yeah.
You know, Mount Diablo comes out later on in the track. Daughters is one of my favorite songs. They're all kind of sad songs in the grand scheme of things. Rally Cap. But then like this song is just changed the way I look at a lot of music today, and how I kind of feel things when it comes to music. And it's just the best. It's my favorite. Probably one of my favorite songs of all time, if we're talking like favorite songs.
Yeah, sick.
It'd be top 10, I reckon, for sure.
It is a really good track. And as I said before, it was my number two before I realized it was in that run. And I just wanted to put the run in the right order. But such a good track.
Very good track. That was fun.
Yeah.
Do you have any honorable mentions?
I did have, but they're not on my list. So I'll want to hear yours.
So mine, I'm just going to go, I didn't rank my honorable mentions. I just did my each album. I did a few. And I tried not to do like 5-6 songs from a record like I did with Blink. So I've got Snyder Street off While You Were Sleeping. That's the first song I ever heard, which I love. Mm-hmm. Clairvoyant has to be there.
Yep.
Mount Diablo has to be there. Like that song, awesome. Small Talk and Framework off What You Don't See. And Framework's a closer. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And off Proper Dose, it's Light Year, Take Me As You Please, and Out of It.
Yep.
Like I mentioned with self-titled, every song would be an honorable mention, to be honest. It's probably the same with Under Soil and Dirt, but with self-titled in particular, I couldn't pick. Like every song on that record is perfect. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Very good.
There we go.
Well, yeah. Thank you for everyone if you've listened this far through this revamped style we've got going on here. I actually quite enjoyed the little back and forth in between, little banter.
I hope that this music thing works out, dude, because I actually don't think we could sustain a comedy podcast. But
no.
We just roast each other every week.
Yeah, but I'll be keeping the lyrics in. I think that's a great addition to
the song. I like the lyrics. Lyrics are good. I'm glad I got one, at least.
I need to do more work on that.
Yeah,
so thanks for all for listening. Please don't forget to follow and subscribe on Spotify and Apple Music. Mm-hmm. The reviews and stuff really help. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at press.con.pod on both platforms. We're on Twitter. Mm-hmm. What's the Twitter handle, Phil?
Press.con.pod.
Oh, it's the same. Sorry. That's my bad. We love the feedback and the conversations about these episodes, the mixtapes and everything. We've got the Facebook Society up and running, so hit us up with any questions. Tell us your rankings. Tell us what you think. tell us that.
Tell us that we should be cancelled because you don't like Parker Cannon.
That's right, Tell us that which other bands have been around for 15, 25 years.
And tell us why you think the story so far don't deserve the mantle of the innovators of the new age of pop punk. And no, I'm not fucking hearing it. As much as I like it, Machine Gun Kelly did not reinvent pop punk. Story so far did. Fuck all y'all.
Yeah. Tell us your top five pop punk bands in the society. But until next time, it's been awesome. See you next
time. I've had a lot of fun, dude. Thanks for this.
No worries, mate. See ya.
See you, dude. Bye.